This time on the Popular Parallax.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Time travel. What is it? How does it work? We're going to take a spin through our picks and pans of traveling through the time vortex while trying not to cause multiple paradoxes. Buckle up! Hi, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Popular Parallax. I'm everyone's favorite companion, Jerrica Lala, and with me, she's like fire and ice and rage. She's ancient and forever. It's Bunny Sunnydale! Sup, Bunny?
It's springtime, and I'm happy, because winter is over, and I hate winter. I hate it.
You hate our jolly Canadian winters?
I hate it. Well,
no way to avoid it.
I'm gonna travel in time to springtime every fall.
That seems excessive and a waste of that power.
Shoveling is hard when that plow goes by.
Just move.
Well, I mean, I guess, but...
So Bunny would use her time travel powers for fluffy reasons, like snow, while others of us would use it to go back to the 80s and buy all the clothing possible in adult size instead of the kid size stuff I had then that I can't wear anymore. I could just go to the Galt Reitmans, not meet myself, cause a horrifying paradox in time.
Yeah.
Do these things happen? I don't know. But it certainly seems to happen a lot in the context of movies and TV shows. I feel like one of the rules is always don't run into yourself.
Sometimes they can see themselves, but you can't touch yourself.
You don't talk to yourself. You don't touch.
No.
That's a big one. There's always generally points in time that we want to fix, but somehow the universe won't let us. That seems to be also a constant rule within fictional time travel, as opposed to factual time travel.
Exactly. Well, I think it's one of those, they're just like, I would like to think that maybe that's just Hollywood's version. Because, I mean, if you could go back, you'd be like, well, I'm going to fucking fix this. Hooray. Oh, yeah. Problem solved. Movie's over.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
But, I mean, it does.
It does seem to make sense.
This is a endless puzzle for us, and why the movies keep showing it to us is, you know, who of us haven't thought, if only I'd change this one thing.
Yeah.
Would it cause a domino effect or a butterfly effect, making the worst time travel movie of all time? Many events led up to making that movie. Maybe if one of them changed, we would have had a decent movie. Now, you see what I'm talking about.
Mind blown.
Casting director, different writer. Change any of the positions, and who knows what we would have gotten.
Yeah.
Something someone would have wanted to watch. So we're going to go through some of our favorites and some less successful of the time travel genre. What I've always noticed is that it's very difficult to do time travel without leaving unanswered questions at the end.
Yeah, there's a lot of, don't think about this too much because...
Exactly. And we'll go through, I think...
It starts unraveling.
They all have an element of that.
Yeah.
Because you can't do time travel with that, because it's a completely made up thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, you know, it is a dimension and we move through time, but at a fixed rate.
Yeah.
So maybe it can change, but the movies can never clean up all of the ends.
No.
Because it's impossible for us to get our heads around, including the writers. First of all, let's just go mainstream, everybody's favorite.
Now let me give you Nichols with a free advice, young man. The so-called Dr. Brown is dangerous. He's a real nutcase. You hang around with him, you're going to end up in big trouble.
Oh, yes, sir.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker. You remind me of your father when he went here. He was a slacker, too.
Back to the Future.
I love it.
I loved it. 1985. I saw it when it came out by a fluke. Oh, this looks okay.
Yeah.
Let's go into this, because it's like, oh, it's the kid from Family Ties.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just do this. And then it was just like, holy shit. Like, you sort of thought it was just going to be like a Brat Pack movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was
perfect.
Yeah, it's a wonderful film. Another Canadian, Michael J. Fox. Talk about breaking down male standard stereotypes. Yeah. This is a tiny elfin half figure of a man who's maybe about 5'1" or 2".
That's a good height.
It's a great height, but it is odd for a male movie star leading a movie to be. But I mean, he was sort of supposed to be a kid.
Yeah.
He was a kid, but he wasn't as young as he was made out to be. Yeah, he was in his 20s, and he was supposed to be like 18 or something, but you bought it. He was a movie star. He completely carried it.
Yeah.
No problem. And this was another movie where the star was replaced. It was not him at first.
It was good old Eric Stoltz. Who was, I like that guy too.
A fine actor, but you know, there were a few rushes available because they hadn't shot just a bit of the movie. They'd shot a good few bits of that movie.
And they're just like,
it's not right.
It's not working. Yeah.
He doesn't have the comedic energy that I think is what they were going for. And I think they did want Michael J. Fox, and he wasn't able to because of the sitcom. And then they tried again, and the producers of the sitcom just thought, we can't stop him from doing this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge movie. Steven Spielberg, Robert Zemeckis thing. Because the first time the show blocked it, they were like, absolutely, we're not giving you this talent for 5 weeks or what. It wasn't even that long. The movie got shot like overnight. And Michael J. Fox, I don't think, was that happy with it. He was totally exhausted.
No
he was
kidding.
Like, this is going to be shit.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was just great. And I mean, he definitely has a type. It was Alex P. Keaton, only hipper and with jeans and stuff.
Yep.
But it was that smart-ass kid that he always played that was totally lovable. Never explained why he's friends with this odd old professor. Yeah. It was a little weird, but he just rolled with it.
But I mean, if my neighbor was doing shit like that, I'd be over there all the time.
Sure.
What you doing today?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Maybe I'll get chased by some Libyan terrorists. It's the 80s, everybody.
Yep.
They get shot up in a mall parking lot, machine gun fire, and Marty jumps into this time machine made out of DeLorean. And goes back from 1985 to 1955 in Hill Valley, watching his parents not date and having to try to fix this problem.
Because
he inadvertently replaces his father getting hit by a car, saving his father from getting hit by a car.
Yep.
The wonderful Crispin Glover. Who is the creepiest fucking little weirdo. He's perfect for it. And both of the parents were great as teens and as the parents.
Yeah.
They really played the middle-aged parents well, and they were not middle-aged. They were about the same age as Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
You'd think they were like in their 40s at the beginning of it. I didn't get it at first until you see them in the quote past, and you're like, oh my God, it's the same people. They didn't, you know, double cast or anything.
Yeah.
Delightful. Right down to the Huey Lewis and the News soundtrack.
So 80s.
Very 80s and very of its time.
Mm-hmm.
There was just two instances of time travel, right? He goes back and he comes back forward again.
Yeah.
Back to the future. He has to get back to the future. Because once he gets to the past, the machine is damaged. And that's the whole adventure, is getting the parents together so he doesn't fade out of existence.
Yes.
And getting the machine to work again. Which is a whole setup with a lightning bolt they know is going to
happen. Yeah, because they don't have enough juice. And they know that lightning bolt is going to hit that clock tower.
So we got this perfect 80s gem. And it does stand up very well.
I mean,
you see the 80s clothes and shit, but it almost doesn't matter because it's also full of 50s clothes and shit.
Yeah.
Perfect 80s gem. What do we do with that? We make two sequels.
Oh, yeah.
And that is problematic.
Yeah, they're junk.
Me. Yeah. And it's interesting because recently I've heard some stuff on, like I heard a whole thing about, it was a movie YouTube thing where these two guys went over the second one again, sort of going, you know, it's not as bad as people say. It's got this quality and that quality. And I have to say, I disagree.
I disagree. I watched it maybe a year ago.
They had an interesting points to make. But to me, it was like, it's not judging it as on its own. It's judging it in the spirit of the first film. It's a total departure. And the tone completely changes.
Mm-hmm.
So that you've got characters doing things you feel like they're not really supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
A million different versions of the same character and all the shit that bothers you about time. Like it was almost the prototype of, here's how you fuck up a time travel movie.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox playing a fucking million people. I felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
It was stupid. They're in the future and then they end up back in the time frame of the first movie, but then he's also there from the first movie, so he's hiding from himself, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and then they fuck up the 85 version of everything because of stuff they've done, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, it's A Wonderful Life, weird. He messes up Hill Valley in the 80s.
Yeah.
So it's this total gang run, Trump-esque nightmare.
Yeah.
Too dark, too deep. It wasn't funny when it tried to be funny, and then in other parts it was really dark.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you look at the first one where he's, if I don't get my parents together, like, I'm not going to exist. Like, that's a big deal.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel like this dark kind of, oh my God,
it's not
horrible.
Kneeling at your father's grave screaming. Like, that's what it turns into.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what these are supposed to be.
Because even his big, I might not exist issue is handled in such a way, you know, where it's fun.
Yeah. And they give you a bit of a thrill. Like, he literally starts to disappear.
Yeah.
It's that close.
Yeah.
It's not like both your parents getting fucking shot. Like, it's terrible. It's like, and it's really long. Or it feels like it is.
It feels endless. I don't know that it is actually.
And it goes through a bunch of different, you know, setups and scenarios, many of which have no impact on the conclusion.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's sort of a little masturbatory, weird thing where they're just like, look what we can do.
Yeah. And I find I have that problem with a lot of time travel stuff where you invest 2 hours in a movie and then at the end they just go back and be like, okay, well, that solves that. And you're like, so it's like it never happened. Why did I fucking watch this then? It just discredits and is just like, bleh, everything that you've just done. And you're just like, I hate when movies are like that, because you may as well just say, and it was all a dream.
It was all a dream. Yeah,
like,
it's one of
this
those things.
This is garbage. Yeah. I find most, like, time travel gets into that.
It dips into that.
Yeah, a lot.
Don't worry. There was yet another film.
No.
A Western.
No. Oh, my God.
Don't do it. It was cheerier than the second one, and it felt more in the spirit of the first one. But why? There was no fucking reason for that movie to happen.
I don't like Westerns.
I kind of do like Western. Like, I was like, oh, this is fun. But then I was like, there was so little that seemed to be at stake. Like, it was just the same bulls. Like, there's Biff's granddad and he's a bully. And you're like, this is again. Like, it's just like
it's the same shit.
The same thing again.
I found that one
less funny every fucking time. You're
yeah.
just like, oh, God.
Yeah. And I found with that one, it doesn't seem to really, like, they go back in time and then they're just like, yay, this is fun. Like, it's a vacation. Like,
yeah,
there's
and then
no.
They have a whole, like, Western shootout adventure because it's like Steven Spielberg going, you know what I love? Old Westerns. Like, that's almost what, Robert Zemeckis or whoever.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have a Triumph Tower that did a tip of the hat, like a small sequence,
mm-hmm.
but this is the whole movie.
The whole thing. And it kind of. It's similar to, like, not really like a dream sequence, but like the holodeck shit.
Yeah.
Where they're like,
it's
the same thing
happening.
Where they want those characters in this situation. Oh, we've got a time traveling car. Let's go have a.
And it does feel like a fantasy. Like, you're this doesn't seem like it's.
Why are you.
There's something about the original where it just felt legit. And you were like, this is really happening to this teenager.
Yeah.
And it was such a good period. 85 to 55 is only 30 years and it's another planet. That's what was genius about it. You're just like, holy shit.
Yeah. And I mean, there was like a reason for everything that happened. Like,
yeah,
they were in the thing.
Can't get
he was trying to
than your own parents, right?
Yeah. Like, he's trying to escape terrorists and getting killed.
Yeah.
And he ends up in the past. And then his whole thing is, how the fuck do I get out of the past? Because the 50s, I don't want to be here. The 80s is way better.
And he immediately makes a mistake in replacing his father and his mother's attention. And then he's got to fix that.
Yeah.
Or he's just going to fade away into nothing. And he has a photograph. And his two siblings are nerds. And so, like, the family's kind of dysfunctional. But he has a Polaroid, because it's the 80s, of him and his two siblings. And they fade first.
Yeah.
And then he starts to go near the end. And they don't have to get more intense than that. It's scary.
You're
just like, there they go. And it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
100% makes sense. And by the last one, you're just like, I sort of don't care what happens here. Like, no one seems in immediate danger.
Yeah, like they're not doing anything except fucking around and having a good old time in the Wild West.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and it's sort of
I don't know that the Wild West is that fun.
Right. And I mean, in the first, Michael J. Fox, he was this tiny little guy and he was very athletic and he did all of his own. He was on a skateboarding kid.
Yeah.
And he did this stuff where he grabbed cars and pull them along. And I feel like that movie single-handedly brought back skateboarding. Like to this day, I think that because I don't remember kids really being into it. And then when that movie came out, every kid got a skateboard.
Yeah.
And it never went away.
Yeah.
By the last one, some of the, like, he almost got killed doing one of those stunts where they hang him.
Oh, I know. That, so many people almost get fucking killed when
it's
hanging.
Just like, this, it's not worth it. Like, this is for a lark. I don't know. It's too bad, but I would say watch the first one. Don't even think about the other ones.
Yeah.
Because the first one is a true gem. It's like 4 star out of 4. It's perfect. It's a little jewel. It does stand out. You see the clothes are out of fashion, but that's it. Like there's look at those hokey effects.
Yeah,
or
and I mean,
like that.
They're not even that much. Like, I mean, he's still wearing like jeans and shit. Like,
yeah,
he's not,
it's just
like
high school kids. Yeah. It's a little, you know, it's a little brat packy, but it's great. And the performances totally stand up as
well. Yeah. For sure. They're fantastic.
Time travel movie that broke the bounds of sci-fi and all that. It was a total mainstream mega hit.
Yeah.
Which is why it had sequels, but it just, they needed to show some self-control.
They needed to not be.
Yeah. Moving on.
You're not exactly catching us at our best.
That much is certain.
I have a hunch that we'd all be a lot happier discussing this over dinner. What do you say?
You guys like Italian?
No.
Yes.
Yeah,
no.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I love Italian. And so do you.
Yes.
It's the old guys again. They can't stop making movies.
They love it.
And Shatner is on point.
He's always on point.
Being hilarious. Just being fucking hilarious. It's a time travel romp. Another 80s cheese time travel classic. This would be up for debate whether this is like one of the great Star Trek movies or just goofy.
Well,
I think it's one of the good ones.
It's even number, so
it's plausible enough. The whale thing was an interesting notion.
People love whales.
The concept is a big, like a scanner, spaceship size, comes over Earth and starts ripping the water out of the ocean with this deafening sound that no one understands. They can't translate it. The kids from the Enterprise are just coming back from their last adventure, search for Spock. So Spock's alive again. And they're in a Klingon piece of shit bird of prey that's barely holding itself together. And they're going to be like arrested when they get back to Earth. They've broken every law in the Federation that there is. So
yeah, they like doing that too.
They love doing that. They listen to the signal for a long time. They go,
hello, that sounds
been,
like a whale song.
Yeah, so they put it through filters and stuff, and they figure it out. And, of course, whales
How can they figure it out and nobody else?
Because it's Jim. That's how. He's a genius, and he's got Spock. So they figure it out, and they're like, these morons don't know. Even if Earth had figured it out, they can't do anything because the whales are extinct.
Uh-oh.
And this is our 80s environmental message movie, for sure.
It's a good thing we listened. It's a good thing we paid attention.
Well, Star Trek's always trying. We're not listening.
Yeah.
But they're always trying. They go, we're going to go back in time. We're going to get two whales. And we're going to come back. We don't know how, but we're going to fucking do this. So they do a boomerang around the sun in this ship at warp 9.9 or something.
9.9?
It works. They go back in time to 1986.
Oh, that's a good year too.
And they go down to San Francisco in 1986 and they just have a hell of a good time.
Good.
And so do we watching it in 1986. We were like, look at this.
Seventh Heaven mom's there.
That's right. She's their romantic interest. Spock's dad is in it a little bit and all the regular Star Trekians are there. I like it. It's time travel happens, but they don't make it the easiest thing in the world to go around this thing. They sort of have hallucinations and stuff and they're passed out when they get there. So it's not this sort of like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
They make it like
a road trip to the past, like Marty McFly.
Yeah. It's a big deal. And it's very risky. They could just fall into the sun if they're,
ooh,
you know, the ship doesn't turn like it's supposed to or whatever the hell they're doing. they have to construct the see-through aluminum or whatever it is.
Remember that?
The whole movie is highly comedic because I think because the previous two were so serious and very like death oriented.
Yeah.
That they were like, let's just have a romp, and it is ridiculous. But I mean, they're all pretty good actors. They pull it off.
Yeah.
But I mean, Scotty, ham and cheese sandwich. And him, he goes into some big factory lab and basically just shows them how to do this aluminum. They're like, oh my God. And Sulu's like, you should not fucking, what are you doing? Like, and he's like, how do we know he didn't invent the thing? And I'm like, that is lame. Lame. That is stupid. But that's what he does.
Yep.
So there are some cheats.
Oh, yeah.
Big, big life hacks in time travel happening.
Yeah, just like you're screwing shit up. You're screwing it up.
Yeah.
Stop doing that. Yeah. They just fucking...
They just do it. Because they want to get those fucking whales.
That entire crew was never very prime directive.
They're renegades of funk right there. Like, yeah.
Prime directive. Not interfere with something.
Fuck that.
Kirk's always going somewhere and's like, I'm going to sleep with all of this and then I'm going to tell you about why your planet's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That's all he ever did.
Yeah, because he even ends up having a relationship with the Seventh Heaven mom.
Yeah.
Who's like...
As soon as he gets there, he's just like, oh boy, oh boy.
But talk about women who don't come off well. She's like, my whales! Like, she is this hysterical woman who is supposed to be a friggin' doctor of, like, you know, animal sciences specializing in whales. And she's a friggin' screaming disaster.
Yeah, she's like this quivering mass of flesh that's just, like, hysterical all the time.
Like, too, way too naive and optimistic and all that stuff. And, I mean, they get her... She does help them, and they get her on their side and stuff, but it's... She's not a great actor to begin with.
What?
She didn't put in that strong a performance, and it's just very shrill. It really is. It's a lot. And I'm just like, Kirk hardly ever got, you know, for all of his ladies, they were never that sharp.
I think the
closest they ever got to someone over who quality. Seemed like an equal and who was intelligent was the kid's mom. In number two, she was also a legit scientist and she wasn't crazy. She was like down to earth, raised the kid by herself. She was, you were just like, really? You slept with that guy? But whatever. We all make choices and she made that. But the lady in that film is disappointing. That was sort of my biggest bugaboo with that film because she has a big part too.
Yeah, she's like in the whole fucking
thing. She's in the whole thing and I'm just like, this is what we got, eh? Yeah, I've got a lot of learning to do because now I'm in the 23rd century. And I was just like, oh good, take her back with you. That's a really good idea. But well,
yeah,
because
he loves holding on to the ladies.
Well, I think she sneaks onto the ship. Yeah. He's like, okay, bye. And then she just like joins onto his beam out. He was like, you shouldn't have done that. Well, I guess you're coming to the future. Because no one's going to look for her, I guess. Yeah. No one's going to notice she's missing.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
That's not going to cause a major... Jesus
Christ.
It's
fine. It all worked out for Jim. That's all we care about.
that's what's important.
Overall, I watch it pretty much any time.
It's entertaining. It's like, very entertaining. It's not frustrating and infuriating to watch.
No, it's meant to be a comedic... Mm-hmm. And it is. It's just like, look at these people. In the 80s. And you're like, do I have to? But then you watch it and you love it.
I don't want to talk about time travel. Because if we start talking about it, then we're going to be here all day talking about it, making diagrams with straws.
We both know how this has to go down. I can't let you walk away from this diner alive. This is my life now. I earned it. You had yours already. So why don't you do what old men do and die?
Getting into more serious territory.
Mm-hmm.
More recent territory. Looper. Did you find this to be a plausible time travel movie?
Well, unlike like Star Trek, it's all about the time travel. It's not just kind of...
That's the whole point.
Yeah, it's the whole point of the entire thing. They do seem to kind of think about timeline issues, duplicates of the traveler kind of stuff. Whereas, as we just said, like Star Trek, they're like, maybe he invented it. Let's just take this lady back to the future. No problem. Everything's fine. Fuck it. Whatever. History? It's fine. Whereas this puts more thought into those potential issues and problems and tries to work out.
They address it.
And they're like, I think that this might be like an answer, whereas other things, they just hope that the audience doesn't think about it. They think about it for you and present some sort of answer or reasoning behind how the time travel works. So it did that well. The only issue I have with it is with his face.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's weird makeup.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I found it very distracting.
I find the time travel premise and how they address that more believable than his face.
Totally unnecessary.
It is. I don't know why.
It didn't ruin the movie for me, but it was a serious distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will never understand is that I would have bought Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a young Bruce Willis and just don't fuck with him.
Yeah.
Just leave it. You're like, yeah, I get it. He's you. I get it.
Yeah.
Don't. And the thing is, as much as they altered him, I didn't go, wow, is that Bruce Willis from Moonlighting? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It didn't look.
You're like, I know what a young Bruce Willis looks like, and it's
really
not that.
Weird. One of the weirdest things to me about it was the drag queen eyebrows. He had these painted on
they
dark
were so
eyebrows.
Thick and...
And at certain angles, you would just be like, that's a clown. Like, it was very weird. And
it just looked like a Sharpie.
I felt bad for him trying to act through this weird face that was his but not.
Yeah, I don't
I
know
don't
why.
I don't understand
that's
why
like
this
the
was
biggest...
deemed...
issue I have with that whole movie.
Yeah, the premise is these young guys who are, and they're not cops, it's sort of a shady, shady business they're involved in, where they assassinate future criminals.
They send them back and they're like, take care of
Boom.
This.
But at some, the reason they're called loopers is at some point they retire themselves.
Yeah.
They don't know this, but this is what happens. They have to be retired at a certain age, maybe because of time travel, and it can get very complicated. So you just put them down like dogs at age like 50 or what. It's not even that old. It's supposed to go totally clean. The guy just shows up. He's got a hood on. Boom. Like that fast. He's just dead. And when Joseph runs into himself, who's Bruce Willis, of course, Bruce takes off. And then you got a time disaster.
Yep. He's
both,
running around fucking
both
existing,
shit up. Yep. And the scene they did where they show you what can happen was one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
With the other kid who was sort of a bit weaker.
Yeah.
A bit dumber. His guy gets away on him as well. And they punish the younger guy and you watch it happening to the older guy in real time. And by punish, I mean like cut off digits and shit. It is, it's revolting. And it's terrifying.
It's
horrifying.
It's very disturbing to watch. Yeah.
And the whole reason they do it is to show you the stakes that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is now dealing with. Because he knows what can happen. They're both going to die a horrible death.
Yeah.
If Bruce Willis should just let him shoot him, but he won't because he's got these scores to settle and it's this whole thing.
You're like, God damn it, Willis.
It's
you know the deal when
Willis.
You God.
First Sixth Sense and now this, but whatever. I really enjoyed it. I sort of went into it sort of half understanding what it would be about, and it was actually more than I think. It's like a great sci-fi noir. It's like a film noir with a sort of hard-bitten guys, a real Blade Runner feel as well.
They don't just, we've kind of figured out some science and stuff and it's cool. Like, it looks really awesome.
Yeah.
I know it got a lot of attention at the time, but I feel like since then, like, I don't hear a lot of people talk about it
and
really.
Even then, and... I mean, it wasn't a huge movie.
Yeah.
Like, this thing's not getting sequels. It was a bit of a sleeper, and it's really worth it. Very good performances all around. Too bad about the face.
Yeah.
But he gets through it. He acts through it. For the most part, you just roll with it. Some angles are not good angles, and you just go, whoa, and it does pull you out of the movie for a sec, and that's why we sort of wish they hadn't. This is like, what?
Yeah, just a weird decision.
Why get a guy and make him into a whole other guy? Like, I just don't understand.
I don't know.
Just the oddest little tiny adjustments. Like, they made it, like, from his nose to his lip was, like, a little longer. Like, where you just went, your face is fucked up.
Like, you get, like, this uncanny valley kind of thing. Yes. Like, he's a fucking android or something.
Yes, that's
exactly
what it was like.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but that doesn't look
like
a human face to me.
Makeup contouring. That's why I say drag. Like, he didn't look draggish, but it was that kind of makeup where it's just sort of like, oh, that's not a shadow. You painted that on.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I don't.
Whoops. But great for time travel.
Yes.
Very nice.
So good.
Yeah, and suspenseful.
It's like smart. All I want is somebody to put some thought into stuff.
it will never end.
Nope.
Literally never end.
Just keeps chugging
away. It's been on and off for 50. That was their big anniversary. Was the 50, which was an odd special. Kind of worked, kind of didn't work. But at least, you know, they had to do something. And they
You can't have a 50th anniversary.
It was quite lovingly done. It was just a little stupid, but what are you going to do? They're now up to Dr. 12.
Yes.
I'm going to get in trouble with it.
Well, Tennant was 10.
Yeah, but Matt then Smith. But then they added this secret doctor in the special. This war doctor that had been like wiped out of their memories and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So now even the number's in question.
No, I'm pretty sure he's just 12. Nothing, never mind. I'm just going to zip back in time.
There's quite a brotherhood of gentlemen now who have played the Doctor. The show started in black and white. And the first companion was his granddaughter, because he started as this old man. It was his granddaughter on the show. Actress was his time lady, Susan, because that's what time ladies are named. Things like Susan. I'm not even sure it was very shaky off the beginning. It was like, is this just a queer old professor? Or is this, what is this?
What's going on?
Yeah, like, is he an alien? Or is he sort of just a professor, a nutty professor at first? But it did evolve very quick. Like, by the time we were to the end of one, is the old man, and into number two, like, he was from another planet, and all that was established. He has a bevy of young ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Always companion. He sometimes had several companions that would include men. Like, several
boy.
At a time.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, well, I mean, several at a time. It wasn't always just him.
Whoa, boy!
And a metal dog just thrown in for fun times. Yeah. So it was always sort of this cheesy but somewhat intriguing British pro. Because, I mean, I watched it as a little kid with Tom Baker and
No,
Peter
that
Davidson.
Music was scary.
It was scary. And the show was very cheap, but it was creepy. It died out sometime in the 80s. They tried to do a reboot movie.
Oh.
Which I remember I watched it. I think we were in high school, like in the 90s. And it wasn't great. It wasn't the worst, but they needed to try harder. Like, it was just too low budget.
Yeah, if you're going to try to reboot something,
they wanted the movie to reboot the show, and it didn't. It was not good enough. And they said it in the States, which was a huge fucking mistake.
Fuck?
It doesn't work. It doesn't work, Doctor Who. Because they've done a few episodes, even the new ones, where they go to the States, and it doesn't work. Doesn't work.
The
just
Americans are always
trying.
I want this. It's the same with like fucking Harry Potter, where they're like, oh my god, why isn't Harry Potter in America? And you're like,
because not
everything's about you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, and sometimes the crossover just doesn't work.
It doesn't work, yeah.
The American actors aren't sure what's going on, because it is fucking cheesy as hell, and not everybody can just do it. 2005, the BBC goes, we're gonna reboot this for real this time. And I had little bunny syndrome. I was just like, this is some fucking bullshit. Don't even do it. What are you doing? Yeah. And then I saw a trailer on CBC, good old Chris Eccleston. And as soon as I saw him in the TARDIS, I pooped.
Do you want to come with me? Because if you do, then I should warn you. You're going to see all sorts of things. Ghosts from the past, aliens from the future. The day the Earth died in a ball of flame. It won't be quiet, it won't be safe, and it won't be calm. But I tell you what it will be. The trip of a lifetime.
Like, I was just like, oh my god! It's going to be great. A lot of people are like, oh, Eccleston, it was only one season. He was a perfect reboot.
Yep.
He was new, but he was like the Doctor. Very sharp, but super cool. He had his leather jacket. And all.
Yeah.
He was just this crazy faced. Because, I mean, the Doctor didn't used to be a dreamboat. You know what I mean? I mean, Peter Davidson was the closest. He was the youngest, and he was kind of a pretty boy. But that was very unusual. Eccleston, he's not ugly, but he's very odd. They should and really, to be fair, they all have been. They're always these white guys. They still haven't done what Avatar was able to do and just go, we're doing this again, and it's a woman this time. They just don't have the balls. They don't even have the balls to not make them white. So they've got a ways to go. But the dude is always sort of a weird dude.
They're like, that's the best you're getting.
So we had Eccleston for one season, and it was a wonderful reboot. That's the season I think there's no bad ones. And they went back. They went forward. I like the ones that go back. They had a Charles Dickens, people coming back from the dead because of something like gas in the lighting and all this crazy alien shit. But then you also had Charles Dickens was there. They had David Tennant and Catherine Tate met Agatha Christie. I just love the ones where they go back. The future ones are fun, but the past ones, you're like, oh my God, there is this British history. I'm gonna meet Agatha Christie. Why not?
You can do.
And because it's Britain, they are gonna find that friggin' weird looking lady who looks just like Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be seen dead on American television because she doesn't have fucking perfect teeth and a perfect face.
Yeah.
People can act.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps the show from being totally ridiculous, because it is.
They make it work.
Tennant was delightful. We've talked about him on Jessica Jones. He sort of doesn't miss, and he's a weird face little guy too.
Yeah.
I think he did bring, he brought more of a Dreamboat thing to Doctor Who, because Doctor Who got huge. But to, you know,
but it's
to
so
be
weird
honest,
to look at that guy and be like, that guy's the Dreamboat.
Yeah. Well, I think
witchy,
first of all,
scrawny little guy.
Britain, it's a different sensibility, and I think it's when people went so Doctor Who crazy. He was a little younger, and he is not classically handsome, but he has a pretty face, and he was incredibly charming.
Yeah.
That's what it mainly was. They sort of lowered the age, and he was, and the show was very good with inclusivity of women, people of color, and all that, and it sort of, that became part of him. So I think it added to the attractiveness that he would accept you no matter who you are, and all of this kind of shit was going on. Good shit. And we went to Matt Smith. He stayed on a long time, and
he didn't want to go.
In a hell of an effort. It wasn't, you know, I just thought the show kept getting a little shakier, my personal opinion. And then we went into our current gentleman, who I like very much.
Yeah, he's an old guy.
He's got a weak show running under him.
That's a shame. That's sad, yeah.
It is. And I also think, not the bravest choice on their part, because to me, you look at him, that's David Tennant in 20 years. He's this Scottish guy, and he's got a little tiny face and huge eyes. And I'm just like, this is the same guy again, just older.
Well,
even
Matt Smith,
his, talk about a fucked up face. He was smacked in the face with a frying pan. Which is okay, because it's Doctor Who, but he was another tall, really skinny guy. I think Tennant put such a mark on it that they're now afraid to, and the thing is, with Eccleston to Tennant, I think people thought it wouldn't work, and it did, because they were actually different kinds of men. Because
they're supposed to be different.
They're supposed to be different, not different, but similar. They're supposed to be a totally different man that emerges, and lately it's just like,
here's this guy again.
Their time travel seems pretty easy.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's a Time Lord, so I can see him being able to navigate through time and space and do whatever he wants. But the companions don't seem to really have any ill effect from, you know, traveling, really. Like, there's not nosebleeds and...
No, Karen
Gilliam.
She had the biggest problem. She got totally fucked up in going back into the time machines and all that, where she was pregnant and not pregnant at the same time.
Because she had her boyfriend and
because she kept thinking, oh, I don't feel so good. Oh, I'm okay. And I remember this, and I didn't watch all these, so it's a little vague in my memory, but I do remember an end of a show, him trying to run a scan, and you just saw it going negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive. And you see him, his face just going, whoopsies. And you're like, yeah. And she had there was a whole thing with her kid, and her kid gets like taken away, and it's horrible. And it was not really believable that she would keep flying with him after that. I was just like, really?
Yeah, no
you
kidding.
Lost a kid because of this. And it's just like, whew, better get back in the saddle. And it's
let's have some more fun adventures.
I mean, they finally did crack them away. But that was the kind of stuff I was like, you're really stretching the plausibility on the behalf of the, and it was a different guy writing by then. It was Moffat, and I don't think he wrote the women half as well as Russell T. Davis. It just suddenly, the women were more alien once Moffat took over.
Yeah.
It's just the longest running and maybe one of the most well-known time travel institution, really.
Yeah.
I think they need another 5 to 10 year break, because you can all, it's like Sherlock Holmes, just reboot the fucker again.
Yeah.
But give it a rest.
I mean, with that one, it's, you can still, like, it's got a built-in device with him regenerating.
Exactly. That's right.
That you can just do it forever and it's the same.
It's genius. It's a genius idea.
Yeah. Where it's not like a reboot or something. You're just like, here it is. Here's the next doctor. You know,
it's set up to last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, oh, if I'm going to live forever, this is what I have to do. Ta-da, I'm a new guy.
Yeah.
To have that built in to your character, it's just, you just, oh, I'm this guy now. Yeah. Oh, I'll just grab a new companion.
Yeah.
Tra-la-la, start again.
It's a stroke of TV genius. It sounds like something that's impossible to do. We're just going to switch the lead and you're going to go with it.
Yeah.
And they have done it 13 times.
Yeah.
Whatever is right or wrong about the show, they've got that part right. And they keep getting away with it.
Yeah.
And especially now, today, where people don't just swallow whatever storyline they see, to just keep going, no, he dies and he comes back to life and he's another actor. And people just go, yep.
Yeah.
Because it's completely established.
Well, I'd rather see that. Like, you get a show and it's on for a few years and then they start to run out of stuff to do. And then all of a sudden, someone has a kid or somebody's adopted some Leo DiCaprio street urchin.
Let's not get into that nonsense.
But like, just bullshit like where you're like, oh,
we have to add more characters.
We need more characters. We need something new. We need more material. I would much rather it be built into the character and know that at some point this will happen. That's where this character's heading. That's where the show's heading. Instead of, ta-da, now there's a kid.
Think about it, writers. Doctor Who lays an egg, has a baby.
Oh, no.
That's just how I figure he procreates. Laying time eggs. And then a weird, tiny baby with big eyes and no face is born.
What was the other choice? We can't fight. We can't escape. We can't go forward. No, no. We can't go forward. That would destroy the Enterprise. Is that it? Was that the other choice?
I must leave.
No. Captain Picard! I cannot allow you to leave. Before we can go forward, the cycle must end.
Before finale, we did have a couple of special mentions. One was Harry Potter number 3. Time travel just gets pulled out the ass.
Yeah.
To solve a problem.
Lazy writing again.
J.K. Rowling. Come on.
J.K.
J.K. She was J.K. all the way to the bank. That's what she did. It was odd for the Harry Potters. I mean, they do have spells and they can do magic.
Yeah.
But for this, I was sort of like, this was a bit of a cop-out. Just, you know, we can't fix this. Oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going to go back a few hours and warn ourselves.
Crap.
I do remember reading it and seeing, just thinking, how is she getting them out of this one? Like, it was, and then you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Lazy.
Yeah, it is. It was a little lazy, but time travel got worked into Harry Potter. So she's basically worked in every goddamn thing into those books. You had time traveling kids. And interestingly, like Doctor Who, a pocket watch is a metaphor, because that's what we need as dummies.
Yeah.
To see time going back. They'd put the cord around two people. Boom, they were back.
Which sometimes is almost that's
creepier
all you need.
Than going back. Because that's, to me, all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
It's just you 2 hours ago.
Run into, duplicates of stuff and same matter existing in the same time space. I find when it's that lazy kind of tacked on plot device that's just, I couldn't figure out how to do this properly, so time travel, they don't address any of the bigger problems.
Any of the side issues that come out of that.
Yeah, if they're using it as a lazy way to get out of the problem they've written themselves into, they're not going to think of any of the other issues that result from traveling through time, so they're just, nobody pay attention to that.
You know, if
everything's going to work out.
If you're one of the many folks that feel most of the first and second years of TNG are not worth watching, check out Times Squared. They meet another Picard in a shuttlecraft from 6 hours in the future, and he's totally fucking out of it. Just from 6 hours, he can't walk, he can't, the counselor says, he is looking at us across a great chasm.
I wish she would never talk.
You'd be super cute if you didn't talk or have a face. But she, in her weird bun hair, whatever she was doing.
Oh, not the bun
hair. No, I don't think it was the second season. But to me, as you know, it was flawed and stuff, but that brought up some interesting stuff to me, because it was just like, yeah, he's crossed dimensions that you're not supposed to go across. Nothing around him is making any sense, because it was like he was looking at a flip fun mirror of the world. That's what what I mean? Like, everything was out of sync, and the closer they got to his time frame, the more with it he got. The end was sort of weird, and I found it for early TNG, it was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was not what you would expect. At least they made an effort to say, like, this isn't always necessarily clean.
Yeah.
And you can't just step across dimensions of time without... It's like deep sea diving.
Yeah.
You're going to get the bends
if
you do this, because that's almost what he, like, has. So it's interesting, and you can't just throw a chain around you and be protected from everything.
Yeah.
And just run around and do stuff and be seeing yourself and seeing other people, and it's very complex.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's just pulled out.
Like, you take a hugely complicated concept like this and just say, even these kids can do it.
Yeah. It came back, no problem. Like, no, there is a problem. Even leaving your atoms behind could conceivably cause a problem. I don't know. Just saying. We had Time Machine.
Not the
old Time Machine. The newer 2000s Guy Pearce Time Machine.
That's a treat.
It's a fucking disaster. It's a disaster of a movie. Front to back. The ancient times are bad. The newer times are bad.
And the fucking future is just...
The future is just odd. And why is his time machine a steampunk glass ball that would not protect you from shit?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's one of those movies where he keeps trying to change things, but you just can't.
That's right. He's trying to change. The doctor would call a fixed point in time that no one can ever change.
Yeah, like, at least this addresses that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what's heartbreaking. I mean, I wanted this movie to be good, to be honest. I love Guy Pearce, even though he doesn't work very much, but I think he's really, I mean, Memento.
Yeah.
He's good. It's not that he's, but it just was cheesy and lame mostly. And he did try to do that stuff. And I mean, but you were talking about, like, the more he tries to save that woman, the funnier it gets.
Yes.
Because he keeps going back again and again and again.
Again and again. And you'd end up just sitting there being like, oh boy, how's she going to buy the farm this time? Oh, she got hit by a carriage.
A carriage. Horse stepped on her face. Oh, God. I don't know.
And you're just, and then it just turns into this, like, hilarious montage of ridiculous deaths for this lovely Victorian woman.
Yeah, this
and
nice like, lady. Ah, ah, ah. I know.
Hilarious. It's like a YouTube's fails video.
And it's too many tries. That's the and they're just like, let's keep on this. And you're like, we get it. You can't change it. Like, two times would have proven that.
Yeah.
Instead of, it seemed like endless.
Yeah, oh my God.
I paid to see that fucker.
I paid to see it with
you. We went together, and we were both dismayed and alarmed. Poor guy. Like, he's just like, this
I don't know who his agent is.
This is the best I can do now, you guys. Remember, I was a big movie star for like 5 minutes, and then this happened.
He had LA Confidential, and people were like, look at this guy. And then
Priscilla.
Yeah.
All his movies that were great. And then suddenly he was making weird, like, animals are talking in this kind of movies.
Ravenous. He was in Ravenous.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I forgot.
Eat everybody.
That the snow was made out of Kleenex. Let's just leave it there. Was that a vampire thing or it was a
no? He was just a cannibal. Yeah, thing. They were like, "I'm gonna absorb your power." Yum yum yum.
Guy
and David Arquette.
What are you doing? I believe Guy Pearce is also in an upcoming ABC special, so he's just gone right to TV.
Oh,
he is in it with many other stars.
He needs a time machine.
Yeah, he needed that time machine to work.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Maybe he has it somewhere and he keeps going back and he just can't fix it.
I feel like Time Machine's in there with like that Princess of Mars adaptation, Henry or whatever.
John Carter.
I feel like it's in there where it's just like, this is maybe not a good idea.
Well, they dumped so much money into that thing and it just fucking bombed.
Well, it was one of those Disney was just like, this will work. We're going to make it work with money.
No, it's not going to work.
So, and then I had Bill and Ted as another honorable mention.
Yep.
They're idiots who travel through time in a phone box.
Oh, yeah. And they break every fucking rule.
And they mess up everything.
They, like, if that wasn't a cut, I would like to see the version of that.
They're dead. They'd just be dead.
They're actual repercussions from their actions.
Yeah.
And they come back to the 80s and it's just a fiery hellscape. Yeah.
Whoops. Oh, God. Joan of Arc is in a band now. You're just like, this is some bullshit. But it is pretty funny. And apparently, a sequel of that is in the works. Of them as like 50-year-old fucking losers, because there's two movies.
Yeah, they had their bogus journey.
They want to make that into a trilogy with 50-year-old dudes just still being losers.
Alex Winter's like, thank God.
Yeah, is it, man? He's a director now.
Is he?
That's what
he
says. At least he's doing.
Okay.
Yeah, and Keanu, don't set him off. That's what he's doing. He's just like, I'm punching my way to death. I'm going to be punching till I'm 85 years old.
And once the details had been successfully navigated, there would be nothing left to do but wait for the conflict. Maybe the obligatory last minute moral debate until the noise of the room escalates into panic and background screams as the gunman walks in. And eventually, he must have got it perfect. And it must have been beautiful with all the praise and adoration he had coming. He had probably saved lives after all. Who knows what would have happened if he hadn't been
there. To finish off, a very interesting, smaller movie.
It is called Primer. It is from 2004. Little indie thing. It's the type of movie where if you're some sort of engineer, mathematician guy, or lady. In this case, it was a guy, that's why I say guy.
Yeah.
I guess this guy watched all these time travel movies.
And he had questions.
He had some fucking questions.
Yeah.
So he wrote a movie that answered all of them. And it gets a little heavy with some of the math and science-y explanations.
Techno talk.
It's fine. And I mean, even when it was going to be released, some of the studios were like, you should tone this down or take this out or change some of the dialogue and basically like dumb it down because people are stupid. And this guy's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Why don't you watch it again?
So, I mean, big winner at Sundance. People fucking loved it. It sets out its kind of rules. It's complicated. Like, it can't be just on in the background while you're doing something else,
it's not
playing
a DeLorean.
On your phone. There are physical issues from them traveling back in time. And in this one, some things they can travel back to whenever, like back to the future. Let's go to the 50s. Let's go to the Wild West. Yeah. Whatevs. Yeah. In this one, they can only go back as far as when the machine was turned on. They have like a point A in the past and a point B in the future, and they can travel
square.
Yeah, within that period of time, and that's it.
The beginnings of time travel, which of course should be shorter range.
Yeah.
If you think of it, because I always, for some reason, think of it as like a deep sea dive experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always wonder, like, how long can you stay in the past and the future?
Yeah.
Like, do you have to come back to breathe your own oxygen at some point? Is it like, I guess thinking about that Star Trek, like, are you going to literally get the bends if you're at the time of Christ for like 3 days? Are you just going to die because you're so out of sync and out of your own lifetime?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So this one says, no, don't do that. So it's these short periods of time. I mean, they're typical anybody. They're like, let's play the stock market, make a bunch of money. They do that, but then it ends up like, I want to change this or I want to do that. And then there's duplicate versions of themselves. And as it goes on, like the movie doesn't really tell you like which, it's not like, now this is the third version of this guy doing this going here, so that you don't know exactly which version of the people you're necessarily watching at any time.
That's good. It's good for a feeling of like disorientation.
Yeah.
They're feeling.
And I mean, then you
get
people.
You have to assume each of these men thinks they're the real guy.
Because then, yeah, if you're the duplicate, you're the guy who's traveled back in time, does that make you less
of that person.
Of that person than the original version of that person. By the end, they're on like 12, 13 versions of themselves. Like, are those different than the original guy? I don't know. It sets out to kind of tackle all those issues and questions. And it's just like, boom, science. There you go. Process that. It's not impossible to get what's happening. Like, it's not this convoluted
focus,
mess.
People just focus. You can't be looking at your phone the whole time.
But I was playing Candy Crush. Like, no, you won't know what's happening.
You're gonna miss.
Everything is there. He's like, questions, what about this, what about that? I'm gonna answer those questions because I'm an engineer.
It's nice to see sort of an idea or a concept of the raw reality of pushing into another dimension, because it's not just like, the fresh air of tomorrow. Like, it seems to be very complicated because we're moving through time right now at a completely fixed rate. What they're talking about is changing this rate of time that we it's taking the string, folding it up, and walking across that fold. It's all of those theories, but what they're saying is you can't just do that with no protection, it's not a natural phenomenon, right?
Yeah, like when these guys are traveling, like they're in their little box, and I mean, they have oxygen tanks, they have masks on, like it's not just this easy breezy like road trip to the past, like Back to the Future. And I think...
And you talked about symptoms that they develop.
The one guy ends up like bleeding out his ear, and you know, in other movies and stuff, like nosebleeds is always a big one. Like any sort of blood leaking out of your head is a problem.
Yeah, pressurized environment issues.
These guys also have a problem. They develop problems with their handwriting the more that they travel. It's just at the beginning when they're kind of developed, because they just make this time machine by accident. They're trying to make like an anti-gravity kind of machine device. Then they end up time travel. They're testing out some stuff and they're putting their hands into this kind of field. So you can think, their hands are, they've traveled, whereas the rest of them haven't. So then their hands are slightly out of sync from the rest
like
of them.
Like by seconds.
Because they show their handwriting and it turns into like this, like it looks like somebody's writing with their opposite hand. Right. It's just.
It almost calls to mind like people like the Curies who are experimenting with something where they really are not sure what it is. And then they get, there's terrible consequences for them.
A whole bit at the beginning, they don't know what they have. Like, it takes them a while to figure out what they've actually done.
Yeah, because it's like a side effect of their experiment.
Yeah, because they have this little thing that they're experimenting with, and then it ends up with like mold or fungus or something on it. So the guy takes it to a lab and he's doing this, and the guy at the lab, he thinks it's this joke because he's working in the lab and he's trying to grow this type of fungus for whatever reason. He's like, you have like a few months worth of stuff on this little thing, and you're telling me you just got this like yesterday. And the one guy is kind of going through all the steps trying to figure out what's happening, and he realizes what it is before the other guy, because the other guy's like at work or whatever. So when he's going through trying to tell this guy, prove to him that it's time travel. There it is.
Sleeper recommendation there.
If you are really into the details of time travel, the warnings of it, and what could actual, well, not actual.
We have no proof.
Well thought out. Dude put effort in. He thought of all the questions, thought of
reasonable
some
explanation.
Reasonable explanation answer to them. He didn't dumb it down.
So a couple of wrap-up questions. We're almost out of time, like the DeLorean says on the back. My question would be, if you could time travel, Bunny Sunnydale, where would you go if you had one choice?
Oh, I want to see the dinosaurs, but I don't imagine that would be... I'd probably hop out of the time machine and be like, oh boy! And then, like, disintegrate into some sort of time-space dust or something.
Okay.
But if that was...
Barring that,
I'd like to see some dinosaurs and... I want to see the future.
I'm afraid to go too far forward.
Yeah.
Putting aside all personal danger to the time period.
Okay, yep.
I think because I am a huge white nerd, I'd like to go to the original Globe Theater and see what's really going on in there.
You are a nerd.
I'm a huge...
No, that's a good one.
People don't understand what you're dealing with. Not just sci-fi nerd. all kinds of nerd right here. But that's what I would probably do.
That's a good one.
I mean, at least David Tennant as the Doctor did me the honor of going back to the old globe. So I got a reasonable representation, but I'd like to really do it. And what is your favorite time travel movie?
I gotta say Back to the Future, yeah. Man. Like, it was...
It's a gem.
I think. Yeah. I mean, it's really good. I think the nostalgia factor is very high there.
Huge.
So it always takes it. It's always that one.
Yeah, I think I am going to agree, which doesn't always happen with our picks, but I agree. And it was like a double hit for me because my dad was huge in the 50s, even though they're hippie. They're children of the 60s, not the 50s. My dad's huge into that stuff. So he hosted a radio program that was the Music to Remember. And so I was familiar with that whole culture. And then I got my own culture as a 7 to 8 year old child watching this movie, thinking it was the greatest thing ever. And this guy was the coolest kid ever. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what all kids thought watching that. That's why everybody started skateboarding.
Yep.
I cannot imagine somebody else doing it. And that's the truth. Not just Eric, anybody.
Yeah.
It was just like the movie was built for him. Turn him into a movie star. I just hear that Huey Lewis soundtrack and I go, I'd like to pop in Back to the Future right about now. It's the power of love. Speaking of the power of love, we'll be back next month. And thank you so much for joining us for our trip through time travel. I don't see any duplicates of us, but maybe we should stay inside for a while.
Yeah.
Just in case. I don't want to meet myself.
No.
Mostly just because I don't want to see myself from that angle.
No. I'm obnoxious.
We'll see you all. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us a rating if you enjoy what you heard. Give us a rating. And we will see you next time. We're thrilled to talk to you. Bye.
Bye. Well, cadets, thanks again for joining Jira Kalala and myself, Bunny Sunnydale. We discussed time travel and the paradoxical adventures that result from bending space and time. Great Scott! Did you know that you could connect with us on social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram? Check it out. It's what all the cool kids are doing these days. Original music and popular Parallax theme by Ken Chamberlain. Join us in May when we discuss fighting evil by moonlight in our Sailor Moon Spectacular in the next episode of The Popular Parallax. Be bold and have fun.